you glad your God ain't at home on the Mount of Peace? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The presence of the Lord is here. The presence of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The presence of the Lord is here. Oh, presence of the Lord is here. The Spirit of the Lord is here. Can you feel it? The Spirit of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The Spirit of the Lord is here. Spirit of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The power of the Lord is here. Oh, power of the Lord is here. Come on, put your hands together if you feel the presence of the Lord in this place. Hallelujah. Come on, let's sing it. The presence of
The Lord is here.
The presence of the Lord.
The presence of the Lord is here.
I feel it in the
air. Feel it in the atmosphere.
The presence of the Lord.
The presence of the Lord is here.
Yeah.
The presence of the Lord is here.
Hallelujah. Come on, we're going to take it up one. If you don't mind giving him praise, say it. The Spirit.
The Spirit of the Lord is here.
The Spirit of the Lord.
The Spirit of the Lord is here.
Come on. I feel it in the
atmosphere. I feel it in the atmosphere.
The Spirit of the Lord.
The Spirit of the Lord is
yeah.
here.
Right where you are. trust him and believe it. In my faith you can receive. I can
feel the presence of the Lord.
And I'm
going to get it.
When you gonna get it? If you need a healing in this house, it's here. Hallelujah. Can't you see him working on the outside? I can feel him moving on the inside. So come and enter in and cast your mouth on him. He'll open up the window and pour you out a blessing. See, but when the Lord steps in, he brings everything you need. Healing, power, and victory. So it all's up to you. Whatever you need him to do, just trust him and believe in him. I faith you with me. I can
feel the presence of the Lord.
And I'm going to get my blessing
right now.
I can
feel the presence of the Lord.
And I'm going to get it.
Freestyle worship here. Hallelujah. Come on, take somebody by the hand and say, come on, praise him with me. It's so awesome to be a part of the church of the living God. Well, praise the Lord. Anybody glad you're living for him? The old song says, wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Praise the Lord. Come on now, looking back over your shoulder. Is there anybody in the house that can say, I'm so glad I walked all this way with him? For better or worse, for richer or poorer, sickness and in health, God's been good to me. Praise God. Praise God. Now, we've been working our way through the 48th chapter of the Psalms, making our way through the Old Testament and in the Psalms and looking at Mount Zion, which in ages past was Jerusalem. But with the destruction of Jerusalem and the tearing of the veil in Jesus' ministry, he said, no longer in Jerusalem nor in the mountain, but in a place called Spirit and Truth. Somebody say Spirit and Truth. Praise God. Tonight we know that the church of the living God is the habitation of God in this day. If you want to find God, if you're living in the Old Testament, you've got to go to Jerusalem. You've got to become part of that program. But if you're living in the church age, you've got to find the church. The admonition of the 48th Psalm is, mark well her bulwarks, consider her palaces, walk about Zion, go round about her, tell the towers thereof, that you may tell it to the generation following. Somebody needs to know what the church looks like. Somebody needs to know what the church sounds like. Praise God. Well, I'll tell you what, there's folks that'll walk in a place like this tonight and they'll say, I don't like all the noise. Well, you wouldn't have liked it around the temple either. I don't like all the enthusiasm. Anybody in the Word of God that's ever known God, there's been a tremendous measure of enthusiasm about it. Praise God. Anywhere you find people in love with something, you'll find enthusiasm. Somebody say praise the Lord. And I was prepared early as this morning. I was ready for us tonight to go into another one of the major bulwarks, which is holiness. I believe I even told you that. But while I was in this altar area this morning, God dropped on my heart that God is known in her palaces. Verse 3, Brother Randy. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. Well, praise God. And I just feel like it's that kind of service tonight. Excellent for situation. Beautiful for situation. Mount Zion. The sides of the north. The city of the great king. The city of our God. Tell her towers. Mark her bulwarks. Consider her palaces. That you may tell it to the generation that follows. Praise God. Verse 3 declares that God is known in her palaces for a refuge. I thought we would stop there tonight. Seemed good in the Holy Ghost. It's one of those moments where he just drops it on you and you don't need to go any further. You don't need to talk about anything else. Praise God. Praise God. Why don't you give God thanks for his word tonight and give him praise? Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Praise God. Now this is not going to take long tonight. You can be seated. This won't take long tonight. Talking about Mount Zion, talking about the city of our great God, talking about New Jerusalem, which is the church of the living God today, built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. You have to be in agreement with that word of God if you are the church today. And the church is the language of the kingdom of God, and the church is the definition of what is the church. Rather, the word of God is the definition. Definition of the church, what is and what is not church, is defined by the word of God. And you can't make it up as you go along, and you can't have it your own way. You need to learn what that word of God has to say about the church of the living God. Somebody say praise the Lord. And we've studied her high places, and we've looked at her prominent towers, and we've talked about some of her bulwarks, and we're going to move on through that. But in verse 3, the word of God and the Holy Ghost said, said this morning, God is known in her palaces for a refuge. I want you to know, and we're talking to the young people and to the children, because the Word of God said we need to know these things, her towers, her bulwarks, and her palaces, so that we can tell the generation that follows. Somebody has to be able to say, this is what the church is like. We don't want to be talking about, well, long time ago, there used to be a church. Long time ago, God used to pour out the Holy Ghost. Long time ago, God used to deliver people from sin. But there needs to be somebody that can stand today and say, God is still pouring out the Holy Ghost. God is still removing the stain of sin. God is still a refuge for the sinner. Well, praise God. Praise God. You don't want to hear about, well, that's the way it was in the first century, but God doesn't do. I'm telling you, there are pulpits in this city that'll tell you it went out with the apostles. There are pulpits in this city that'll tell you works don't matter. There are pulpits in this city and a host of the Christian world today that will tell you it doesn't matter how you live or how you believe or how you behave. But I'm here to tell you the Word of God has something for this generation, and there needs to be somebody that can stand up and say, this is what the church should look like. I don't know if you're ever going to go to church. I don't know if you're ever going to live for God. But if you ever do make up your mind to truly live for God, this is what the church looks like. And you open up the book of Acts and you begin to talk about how it was when God first poured out the Holy Ghost. And God stepped out in the form of Simon Peter and began to lay the foundation work for a 2,000-year dispensation known as the church age, the time of the Gentiles, the age of Jesus Christ. Well, praise God. Somebody needs to be able to tell these young people and these children, this is what the church looks like. Amen. Not how it used to be long ago, but they don't do it that way anymore. God is known. Everybody say, God is known in her palaces. Now, I had all this figured out, and I was going to do the palaces last, but God keeps fooling with us. God is known in her palaces. Palaces are where people live. God is known in her church, in his church. God is known in the way that people live. They know him. Not a story, not some old story from grandma or great grandma or a history book or some church archive where you go in some dusty room and you open up some old dusty book and dust flies everywhere. And once upon a time, there used to be a church with fire. And once upon a time, they used to shout and dance and run. And once upon a time, God used to give them the Holy Ghost. And once upon a time, deliverance was real, but now we send them to the psychiatrist. Once upon a time, God really did heal people in their bodies. And once, I'm telling you, the Word of God said God is known in her palaces. When you find children, when you find the church of the living God, you're going to find people that don't have to ask somebody else. You're going to find people who say, I know him for myself. I've called on him and he's answered my prayer. I've called on him and he's healed my body. Is there a witness in the house tonight? I've called on him and he made a way where there was no way. Is there anybody in the house that can say that's my testimony tonight? Is there anybody in the house that knows him? Is there anybody in the house that knows him? Could you stand to your feet? Can you lift up your hand? Can you lift up your voice and say, I know him for myself. I've walked with him through trouble. He's reached down and touched my life. He's ministered to me. It's not just my daddy's God. It's not just my mother's God. It's not just the preacher's God. But I know him for myself. Let's clap our hands into him and bless his name. God is known in her palaces. We don't have to wonder what someone else would say about it. We already know because we know his word. We know him. He said, search the scriptures, for they are those that testify of me. You want to know him, you got to know his word. You don't know his word, you don't know him. You don't know his word, you can't know him. But God is known in her palaces. Praise God. It's a firsthand experience. Praise God. You young people, you've got to get this and understand this. That in every generation, there'll be those that walk in these doors that have never walked for God, never lived for God. And they will have a miraculous transformation. And it will shock their system and change their mind and change their life. And they'll go right back to the spot on the calendar and tell you where it happened and the way that their lives were consecrated before God. And it makes a violent change in their lives. And all the first generation folks shouted amen. But those of you that are raised up in it, you're raised up knowing it from the time you're a baby. You're raised up like these little ones running the aisles before you have the slightest idea why you're running. You're just running because everybody, if you ask them, they'll say, we're praising Jesus. But something's got to happen. And it has to happen in every generation. Every generation, every individual in it has to have their own time of conversion. Their own moment where that defining moment where it breaks loose in their heart and their mind. And they say, it's no longer that I'm going to worship for my mother or my dad or the church or because it's my tradition. You'd be amazed at how many people are attending a church today because it's the church they were raised in. Because it's their family history. Because it's something in their family culture. But they don't know God for themselves. It's just a family tradition. But it can't be that way, apostolic young person. You can't just live this because it's moms or dads or preachers or family culture or family tradition. Somewhere in the middle of the years, you've got to find a place where you shake the door of heaven and you say, Jesus, you got to come out. I've got to get to know you. I've got to know you for myself. Praise God. Praise God. When the old man laid his hand on Jacob, laid his hand on him and he prayed for him. And the blessing and the birthright came down on him. And he had to go on a long journey because his brother was going to kill him. But when he stopped for the night, he made a pillow out of stones and he lay down for the night. And when he awakened, he saw, or in a dream vision, he saw angels ascending and descending on a ladder into heaven, a staircase into heaven. And he saw the God of glory standing at the head of that stairway. And he said, I am the God of Abraham and Isaac. He said, I am. And he began to tell Jacob what he was going to do in his life. He began to impart the promise of the fathers into the life of that young man. He began to pour out the promise and the vision and the power of the word into yet another vessel, because men come and go, but in every generation God is going to have someone who knows him firsthand, who knows him for himself, not just having heard it from another, but I know him for myself. It's not that my mama only knows how to pray, but it's that I have found an altar of prayer. It's not that just the old timers know how to shout, but my God, when he gets on me, I've got to shout. There's a shout in every generation. It's not enough that my parents are on their feet preaching with the preacher, but there needs to be a young person on their feet preaching with the preacher saying, amen, preach to me the word of God. Let's clap our hands unto him. Every generation needs to know. Every generation has to have that personal relationship. There has to be somebody that can tell them, this is what church looks like. This is what church feels like. This is what church sounds like. This is what church is all about. It's got some fire in it. It's got some anointing in it. There's a testimony of a miracle in it. Every other week or so, there's somebody standing and saying, I was sick in my body, but God came down and touched me. Praise God. It ought to be almost every service. Somebody down in the altar had a little gal with purple hair down the altar this morning, talking in tongues, and God gave her the Holy Ghost. It's not an issue that she had purple hair. It's just something I noticed. Praise God. Praise God. When you're talking to a young person or to a kid about church, you ought to tell them that altar's a lively place. You go to that altar, something's going to happen to you. You go to that altar, you won't be the same. Somebody needs to tell you, young person. Somebody needs to tell you, little child. People get the Holy Ghost in an apostolic church. You find the church of the living God, there's going to be tongue talking all around you. Every time the doors open, there are going to be people talking in tongues. I've heard people say, well, I got the Holy Ghost 20 years ago and I talked in tongues and I hadn't talked in tongues since. That's not the church of the living God. That's not the church of the living God. God is known. God is known. Present tense. God is known right now. God is known right here today. God is known, not past tense. We used to know God. We used to have a move of God. We used to have a firefall. I've talked to elders in many different denominational structures, and they'll tell me, we used to dance like that. We used to shout like that. My mama told me about their old camp meetings. They used to all love holiness, and they used to walk holy before God, and they used to have those experiences. But they'll tell you, we don't do that anymore. That's all passed by. But our children need to know, our young people need to know, that this is not a past tense experience. God is a present help. God is present tense. Praise God. If you know him for yourself, you turn to somebody right now, shake their hands, and say it. You don't have to ask anybody else. You can ask me. I know him. Come on, tell him I know his name. I know him in spirit. I know what he said. I can tell you about his book. I know what he likes. I know what he doesn't like. You don't have to ask somebody about it. I can tell you right now what God is all about. Well, praise God. Can you do that? Is there anybody in the house? Would the real apostolic please stand up? With the real church, please stand up. There's churches on every street corner. Would the real church please stand up? Pull up beside this kid at school and say, you got a problem. He's not going to say, well, wait a minute, let me call the preacher. He's not going to say, we don't do demons. He's not going to say, well, I've got to find somebody more qualified. This kid's going to tell you, I know him. I know him. I know his name. I know his word. I know what he likes. Somebody say, God is known in her. My God, you find the church of the living God, they know him. Present tense. It's not some old story, friend. They're not about preserving old memories. Don't move that, son. That's been there for 50 years. This church ain't changed in 50 years, and it ain't going to, because we like it just like the way. Well, that was mama's place. Don't move that. Don't change that. Same old songs and same old routine and same old prayer. And it would make them go berserk if something happened suddenly. But on the day of Pentecost, the Bible said they were just hanging out. They were praying and they were worshiping. And suddenly, strike your neighbor a little bit and say, suddenly. You get in a sure enough church of the living God, something happens suddenly. Kid comes up to give announcements and he takes off on a tear. He starts preaching. Forgets all about the announcements. Holy Ghost is on him. And he doesn't know I'm going to preach about God being a refuge tonight. But he stands right here and says, God is a refuge. Well, praise God. Praise God. Everybody that knows him, shout amen. Amen. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor, shake him a little and say, you don't have to look anywhere else. I know him. Come on. Come on, are you up for this? We've got a generation to tell. We've got a generation to tell what the church is like, what it looks like, what it should be like. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. Praise God. Out in this city tonight, They're buying a 12-pack, and they're going to go home and sit down and get a buzz going. And in the morning, they're going to take something to get them speeded up. And in the evening, they're either going to take a pill or a shot to get them slowed back down. And they're living from pill to pill and from drink to drink and beer to beer. And when they get really disgusted with life, they figure, I need a new husband. Or they get really disenchanted, they need a new wife. And the divorce courts are full. So much so that some state legislatures are having to pass laws. And they're calling them covenant marriages. Which means it's more difficult to get out of them. Because no fault divorce is rampant in our country. Because people don't mean what they say and they don't say what they mean. And every time they hit a bump in life, they're looking for a refuge. They're looking for a thrill. They're looking for another buzz. They're searching for another high. They're looking for something to hide in until the storm of life passes them by. They're looking for a place where they can hunker down and all the pressure will be relieved. And they don't care if it's in a bottle, and they don't care if it's in a needle, and they don't care if it's prescription or if it's illegal and they buy it on the street. They're just looking for a place of refuge, a place to hide. But the word of God says, God is known in her palaces for a refuge. I want to serve notice to every one of these young people and every one of these children tonight. You don't ever have to walk in the doors of a bar room to find a refuge. You don't ever have to do business with the pill pusher at school for a refuge. You don't ever have to go lay down on the couch and have somebody prescribe a refuge for you. Come on, somebody. God is known in her palaces. I just want everybody that's ever hidden away in the strong tower of the name of Jesus. I want anybody in this house that's ever hidden in the cleft of the rock. I want you to begin to praise him a little bit tonight. If you've ever used God as a hiding place, if you've ever found him as a city of refuge when life was more than you could handle. Looking for a refuge in things that don't last. Looking for a refuge that you can build with money. If I could just make a certain amount of money, then I know I would be happy. But you know, you can talk to everybody that lives in the upper echelon of society, and you won't find many there that are much different from those that are on the other side of the tracks, because they'll look back at you with vacant stares and they'll tell you, I thought it was in the money. I thought it was in the success, but every time I reach into the bag is still empty. They sit in the middle of their prosperity and their life is still oppressed, and they don't have a refuge. But God is known in the palace of the church as a refuge. I may not have money, but I've got a hiding place in God. I may not have all that the world counts as success, but I've got a hiding place in God. And when trouble comes to my door, I've got somebody that is stronger than I am. I run to the rock. He's mightier. He's mightier than I am. Could you just love him for a little bit here? Hallelujah. 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 This is not going to qualify as a sermon, and this is not going to qualify as something structured and something presented very well, but I want you to know the Holy Ghost is talking to somebody tonight that's been trying to hide in other things, and he is known in her palaces for a refuge. I want all these young people to know that you don't ever have to get strung out on the addictive things of this life, but that you can lean on God and he'll never fail you. He'll never fail you. He'll never leave leave you. He'll never forsake you. Somebody that knows it ought to shout amen. I ought to have some old timer in here shouting about right now, thinking about all the times that he saved you and kept you. Praise God. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. Praise God. Praise God. Brother Terry, when your wife walks out on you, there's not a thing in this world that can comfort your heart. But I've seen God's people in the middle of that trauma stagger, as you said, stagger down to an altar, stagger into a prayer room, stagger into another service, and lift up a tear-stained face and hands of faith, and they begin to praise and magnify God. And God is the only effective refuge that I know. You can get drunk every night, but you'll feel worse in the morning. But after you've touched the face of God and brought your trouble to the throne of God, I'm telling you, there's a relief there that can't be measured by this world. Is it a fact? Will God be a refuge for you in the middle of that trouble? Somebody say praise the Lord. We got Sister Pam here. Her husband is in Iraq, and she is missing him. And I'm sure that she worries about him. But prayer becomes a refuge. And in the nighttime when she's concerned about him, and the devil comes to every house. The devil comes to her house and talks about how he's going to get hurt or how he might die over there. And she's troubled by that in her spirit. But she's able to tell the devil that he's a liar because she's got a refuge in prayer and a refuge in the name of the Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. Sister Jewel's laid up in Medical Center East right now, and they can't do the tests they need to do on her because her heart is so weak, and she's already had a heart attack, and she's got a lot of other complicated problems. But she's sitting in that place, and she's saying, you know, I hate to miss church. I hate to miss out on the house of God. And she talks prayer, and she talks about the good things of God. And you know what? When you're in that place, there's nothing anybody can do that'll satisfy that fear that can touch your very soul. But there is a God in heaven that will comfort you in an unspeakable way in that place. I talked to Brother Ken Thornton this afternoon, Brother Cliff's father-in-law, Brother Cliff's stepdad. I never do get that right. And he's got a terminal cancer situation in his body. And they're wanting to do some more chemotherapy or something on him. But the man stands in his faith. And it is an incredible thing. And you just have to kind of back up and in awe listen to the words. It's a holy moment in a sacred place when somebody's looking down the barrel of death. And they're able to say, but you know, I believe God. And you know, we're trusting God. And he doesn't mean I'm just trusting God if he heals me. He's meaning I'm trusting God either way this thing goes. I'm trusting God. If I live or if I die, God is yet God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let me tell you something, children. There is no refuge like that. If you're the one on the bed or you're the loved one that's trying to comfort the one on the bed, there is no refuge like the refuge of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus. Praise God, because in that moment, there's not a human hand that can reach and do any good. There's not a human hand that can make a difference there. But there's a God that can say, honey, if you live or if you die, you belong to me, and you're going to go live with me, and you're going to be my God, my God. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. Could we just love him a little bit tonight? Praise God. Praise God. I want all of our children and I want all of our young people under 20 to come stand on this top stair here. Turn and face this congregation. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Praise God. Sister Frank, I want you to come and I want you to tell one of these young ladies how it is when your husband's laid up for 8 weeks and the doctor walks in and the doctor looks like he ain't going to make it and he's not supposed to live and they send him home to die. But here a year later, he's looking stronger than he's looked in years. I want you to go tell one of those young ladies. Go now and tell them that God is a refuge. Praise God that they can depend on him. They can trust in him. Sister Riggs, can you make it up there? You try? You know, you don't have to. I tell you what, let's bring one up to you. Lakia, come here. Let Sister Riggs tell you all about it. Tell her how God will keep you through your years and keep you when you're aged. Begin to just tell her about that. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. I want you to know God will see. He'll see you when you're down at the graveyard. God will walk with you when you're down in the hospital. There is a refuge in God that you can depend on. And there's nothing in this world that can satisfy you like God. There's not a drink. There's not a drug. There's not an illicit relationship. There's not a change of venue. There's not a change of location. The world says, if I could just move, if I could just run, if I could just go here, change jobs, change spouses, change locations, then I would be safe. I want some adult that knows that God is a refuge. I want you to come and stand with each of these and begin to tell them about what God has done for you. Tell them about what God has delivered you from. Tell them about what God has kept you through when you were in a sick bed or you were at the graveyard or you were in a place where there wasn't an answer for you. I want you to come and tell these children. The Word of God says, tell that generation that is coming. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. Praise God. Come on, Sister Katie. There's one up here you can tell. Sit here on this front chair. Hannah. One of you little ones, come here. Go to Sister Katie. Let her talk to you. Tell her all about it, Sister Katie. Praise God. Praise God. This is not just perfunctory. This is not just some workshop. This is the real deal. These are people that have walked through every stage of life. And God has kept them. While they're talking to these, somewhere in the midst of that, you may want to begin to pray with one another. If there's anybody in the house tonight and you've tried other refuge, you've tried to find a hiding place, but it hasn't worked for you, but you would love to come and hide in the promise of God, I want to invite you to come join me down in this altar. I'll pray with you. God will touch your life tonight. God will fill you with His Spirit. God will minister to you in a holy way. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. All over the house, let's love Him and praise Him and thank Him. God is my hiding place. God is my refuge and my strength, a present help in a time of need. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth in and is safe. He says, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. He that believeth shall not be confounded. Praise God. After you've told them, pray for them. Hallelujah. Praise God. Could we love him all over the house right now? Just praise, worship him.
That's a bad.